90.1. The DJ said WUSB.
Way hey, 90.1.
They start each day with the rising sun.
Way hey, 90.1.
Don't ever finish till after day is done.
Way hey, 90.1.
So if you want good music to hear.
Way hey, 90.1.
There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear.
Way hey, 90.1.
So if you like the sounds, do take a look.
Way hey, 90.1.
At WUSB Stony Brook.
Hey, hey, hey.
And it should be pointed out that we also are on 107.3. We have to write some new lyrics for that frequency to be included. This is WUSB Stony Brook. It's Tuesday. It's 6 o'clock time for Off the Wall. Let's start super early this week. It's okay. Yeah, it's we usually wait a couple of minutes, but you know what? We always run out of time, so maybe if we start earlier, we will run out of time later or something. Yeah, it's Off the Wall. Emmanuel here, Kyle over there.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Kyle. Congratulations.
What are you congratulating?
You are in the vaccine club.
You're in
the vaccine club.
There's no club.
Wow. So one by one, everybody we know is getting the vaccine, and I think it's just great. You had a very different experience than me, though. My two shots were at the university, the new part of the university that is off Stony Brook Road, the research and development
research campus. And there's wireless and bio or chemistry stuff over there, but great, beautiful new buildings, and it's being put to good use for this.
Right now, the National Guard is over there.
It's pretty much occupied by the vaccine rollout from the New York State Health. I would assume. Yeah,
it used to be part of the massive Gyrodyne complex, which used to build military helicopters back in the day when that kind of thing was popular. One day the university or the state said, you know what, we want this, and they exercised eminent domain. I'm kind of glad they did. I don't usually like that kind of thing, but when it's in the face of potential development or destruction, as I like to call it, you would have seen all kinds of housing complexes and clubhouses and things like that.
It's cool the way they developed it, though, because these really like modern-looking buildings, research buildings, are just there. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like they're just sticking out, but there's so much green space and tree lines surrounding it. It is really kind of beautiful from a layout, like architecturally.
I almost hit a deer when I was over there.
Yeah,
which proves that wildlife is flourishing.
It's very much an undisturbed area, and very cool to see the tall trees and stuff.
And I mentioned that this was half of the former Gyrodyne complex. Actually, it's still called Gyrodyne, but there's another half. It's actually interesting because one half is in Brookhaven Town, the other half is in Smithtown.
It's divided by the train, right?
Yeah, the train goes right through it. It's weird because they put up a fence between the two, and it's like East Berlin and West Berlin. The other half is currently embroiled in a bit of a controversy because the people that run the place want to build a hotel and a retirement community and all this crap that would really not be a good idea for the tiny roads in the area. I just heard recently that a massive deal fell through. I'm happy about that. This is one of the biggest open spaces left in the area. There are offices there. There are warehouses and things like that, but there is also greenery. And it's a good thing to have that. You don't have to build on every piece of land. I'm hoping the state, the county, the town, somebody gets involved and preserves this because, you know, we need space. We need greenery. We need our sanity. And that's what places like this, you know, open fields and forest and wildlife, that's what it brings to us.
Yeah, and more roads and parking lots. Specifically parking lots, I think.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that really is, I don't know, it's an unfortunate use of
space. We don't need any more of that. It's enough. We have enough.
To say nothing of, wastewater and runoff from traffic and roads. That was actually proposed.
They're supposedly are thinking about building a sewage plant there, and the people in Stony Brook Harbor are really concerned about where the water is going to go from that.
Well, the reason for that is because if you build a retirement or a big living space in an area that has to have septic, you need to come up with a plan for that. So how convenient would it be to co-locate something like that and then sell it and offer it to a neighboring town? Wow, good idea.
Yeah, look, there's plenty of buildings, empty buildings. There's plenty of housing developments. There's plenty of space that's already been taken by this. Let's keep what we have. That's still green. That's still somewhat wild and treasure it. I don't know how I get into this. We were talking about vaccines, and I wound up talking about open space. Well, it's because of the location where I got my vaccine.
Well, they have a parking lot there.
They sure do, yeah.
It doesn't seem... It's getting a lot of use right now.
Uh-huh. Intelligent use. I'm glad they got that space, because where would this be going on if they hadn't done that?
But didn't you get yelled at?
I did.
Crossed illegally or doing your second shot, right?
I don't get along well with rules and with orders and things like that.
Certainly not military.
Look, I was going into the building, okay? The entrance is on the left. The exit is on the right. Now, the pathway with the striped lines goes directly to the exit. I thought it would make more sense for me to cross closer to the entrance and avoid passing people who were exiting. I got, I think, three loud sirs from a National Guard guy saying I had to walk over there. I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't want to get shot. So I did it that way. Had to pass somebody and then walk to the right door. Whatever. It's okay. No hard feelings. But, yeah, that was my second shot a couple of weeks ago. In fact, in a couple of days, I'll be considered completely vaccinated. I could just go out and do whatever. But I'm not going to. I'm going to continue. People ask, why continue wearing the mask if you've been vaccinated? Well, because the people around don't know you got vaccinated. You can say you got vaccinated, but there's no proof that you actually did unless you hold up your card, which no one's taking seriously as far as proof.
Who does that help either?
I don't know. The thing is to get people to get vaccinated. And again, that brings it back to you, Kyle, because you got vaccinated the other day. You had a totally different experience because you didn't deal with the National Guard. You didn't go to Stony Brook. You went to a drugstore.
Way less people. Yeah, local pharmacy.
Wow. What was that like?
I guess there's a site similar to what they did for the state, but it's managed by the pharmacy, so I had check-in stuff,
mm-hmm.
and that was pretty smooth. I think I was well prepared. I brought a lot of I was really ready, I had all my stuff. I was on time. I think you could check in over mobile or something. It was something like that, so that was impressive just to see that, and alongside a place that's got regular customers, but most of the people seem to be either filing in just to get a couple items, or they're definitely going in and out. Like while I was just checking in, there were like half a dozen people going either way, so it was certainly busy.
But no National Guard.
No, this just a normal store. They've got their own system, I gather. But it was just a regular day over the weekend. Slow, and just walked in. There was a woman, I think, like a senior citizen or some kind of volunteer. I'm not sure if she was a nurse, maybe. She might have been an RN or something.
Mm-hmm.
But she was very friendly and was the one with the stack of the cards and basically greets you in the middle, the very center of this pharmacy.
She's the gatekeeper.
Exactly. So I was working hard to get in her good graces, and
the bouquet of flowers helped.
It did.
And always come prepared.
That's right. And the arrangement, it was really nice. She appreciated that, but promptly threw it aside so that she could fill out the form because she didn't have enough table space there. Really, just had a couple questions, but nothing really detailed. But made sure who I was and that I was, signed up for that time slot. And then I think wanted to see insurance information. Mm-hmm. Any, just anything. I probably... I'm not saying I could have just scribbled insurance on a piece of paper.
You don't have to have insurance to get this, and it doesn't cost anything because that is what healthcare should be, where it's already covered through all your tax dollars.
Yeah,
and this is an emergency, so we need to get people vaccinated.
Correct. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure I really even needed to do that, but that might have been part of the process, or maybe I used that instead of ID. I can't remember exactly, mm-hmm. but it was not a big deal. Then went and got my temperature checked further back, and it ended up being in like the section that normally has like baby products, you know. And it was funny because I was standing there about to like approach this other nurse who was going to also verify and do my temperature, but someone was trying to find like diapers or something, and it had been relocated or whatever. It was on the end of another aisle and mm-hmm. kind of in the way or blocked by people lining up for the vaccine. So maybe a bit of an inconvenience for them. But what they did is basically took out all the shelves for like products and everything, even the bottom of the shelf to down to the floor, and use the dividers to put in like clear dividers or curtains that you would see in a doctor's office or something.
Right.
And then a couple chairs in between each one. So then one end had a doctor or a nurse, a gentleman there with a cart of all his supplies and stuff. And he was then taking people that had their temperature checked and encouraging them to just choose any seat really and stay there. And I did that. I think there was one person when I, a young woman that was there waiting.
One person. When I went in, there were about 100 people, at least, more than that.
So it was like kind of amazing. It was like, I guess I was a little bit early for that time slot. So I might have, I quickly realized that I was in a slot of that was very full, because by the time I had been injected, mm-hmm. Which he basically just approached, said, rolled up and got my arm ready there, and then came back with the needle and plunged that puppy in and then got a bandage. But I realized once I was there that people were filing in right behind me, uh-huh. and it was basically every chair was occupied by the time I was waiting there.
But how many chairs were there?
I would say about eight.
Eight. Oh, yeah.
Maybe 12.
Wow, it's like night and day. What I went through is this huge, massive room filled with people, and you went to a pharmacy with less than a dozen people, but you got the same shot, and that's what's important. You became eligible a week ago, and we were able to sign you up for something. It took trickery. You know, we had to keep checking different sites, and it takes work. Originally, the earliest we could get was mid-May, and then we just kept trying and we found something else and then canceled the mid-May appointment and had you for something much quicker. Anyone out there can do the same thing. And it varies state by state, obviously, but the important thing is to keep trying. It's opened up in New York today for anyone 16 and above, which pretty much opens it up to any adult. Other states, they're opening up slowly as well. I believe April 19th is the day that Joe Biden gave as the date to that every adult can get vaccinated throughout the country. I think it's going really well compared to the way it was going at first, where we didn't seem to have a plan. And now it's getting there. We still have work to do. We can't jump the gun and say, oh, it's solved. It's not, because there are still too many people who aren't getting the vaccine, and that is causing problems. The infection rate is at a plateau. The people being affected now are younger people, and it's kind of following the trend that the 1919 pandemic followed, where at first older people were affected, and then younger people were affected in a devastating way. We don't want to see that happen, obviously. So the way to avoid that is for everybody to get your shot.
It's so true. And there are surges across the world. And of course, as you said, in that demographic in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But I know Germany and India and other parts of the world are very much concerned about the increase in other forms of this virus. But moving on, we'll obviously update and just continue to encourage everyone to stay safe out there. But also get your vaccine?
We had a letter from one of our listeners in Pennsylvania, I believe. Glad to hear your vaccination went well. Congratulations. Vaccine rollout is another thing. New York is performing better than Pennsylvania. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying that, citizens of New York. I know, you know, we have to criticize Cuomo at every possible opportunity, but we can say we're doing a decent job. Sure, there are problems. Sure, there are mistakes and missteps, and we fall down occasionally, but it is getting done, and the message is out there. We're getting updates, and it certainly compares better to other states. Not going to name names, not yet anyway. Anyway, I really want the Johnson & Johnson shot because I'm in the highest risk for an adverse reaction in the population. I have to carry an EpiPen. Yeah, I hear you. Unfortunately, our governor decided to restrict access to the Johnson & Johnson shot for teachers and child care workers only. If you know where I can get the J&J shot in New York or New Jersey or even Maryland or Delaware, please let me know. It appears the vaccination program run by New York State is restricted to residents and employees within the state. Well, yes and no. It depends. If you contact a pharmacy, it's possible they may say, don't worry about it. Come on down. But again, it's not entirely certain that they'll have the vaccine that you want. I don't think it's correct to say that this vaccine is safer than that vaccine without consulting with the doctor first. And I think that is what you should do before making an assumption that just because one vaccine is one shot and another vaccine is two shots, that the one shot one is somehow going to be safer than the two shot one, or vice versa, where the two shot one would be safer because you're getting less each time. These are assumptions that we as non-medical people might make, but they might have absolutely no basis in reality. So please check with a medical professional first before making that assumption. It's quite likely, I think, that any vaccine would be fine. But again, because of your medical conditions, check with in any possible way. We have that right. We have that ability. And that's how you find out the information.
It may vary based on your condition as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to find out from your medical professional what you should do. And I also don't think that because some of this stuff is unknown or different in certain ways, I don't think that it's fair to assume that the reaction that you'll have will be any more than most people, unless there's something specific about your condition. I feel like there's an association with the unknown of something new versus the actual reactions people are having.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't know specifically about any one person, but it is good to be really cautious and prepare yourself for perhaps having some side effects, and you know yourself best. So
yes.
Definitely be on top of that.
Get medical advice, whether it's through your health insurance, an urgent care facility, a pharmacist. Don't assume that you can't get advice. Of course you can. Online, there are all kinds of options as well. And the thing is to keep trying. It might seem like something isn't available right now. It's getting easier as more people become eligible to get the vaccine. More vaccines are becoming available. More appointments are opening up, and something that didn't work 5 minutes ago might suddenly start working. There are all kinds of Twitter accounts that you can follow that will update you when appointments open up. I know a whole bunch just opened up last night in New York City. The important thing, people aren't trying to keep you from getting the vaccine. They want you to get the vaccine. So you just have to make the connection to the right place, and they will take care of you. That's almost a guarantee. So best of luck to our Pennsylvania listener there and to everybody else who is concerned about this. As of today in New York, people as young as 16 were able to start booking appointments. And some even got the shots today. That's pretty good, including right here at Stony Brook University. The university injected shots into nearly 1/3 of its residential students on the first day alone. Yeah, they woke them up. They barged into the dormitories. No, I'm kidding. They didn't do that. 1,400 of the 45 students currently living on campus got vaccines today. That is awesome. All of the available spots for shots were grabbed in less than 2 hours, which is longer than I would expect them to be open for. Another 400 to 500 students expressed interest in getting an appointment, which is great, but you have to do more than just express interest. You have to actually make the appointment, go out there and get it. At Stony Brook, where about 60% of students live on campus, data shows that when you live in closer proximity to one another, there is more risk. It was a logical decision to vaccinate residents first, but commuter students will have access to vaccines by next week. That's according to the university. And since in class, what do they call that? In-person classes?
In-person learning.
Yeah. At Stony Brook resumed, residential students have been tested twice a week. Commuters are tested once a week. Infections are remaining at less than 1%, which is not bad. Pretty good, actually. 40% of Nassau County's population, or 54% of all adults, have received at least one dose of the vaccine. The state's vaccine tracker put Suffolk County's vaccination level at about 33% as of yesterday. Lagging behind Suffolk, you know, I know there's a lot of stupid people here. I'm not saying they're necessarily listening to us, but there are a lot of people that are following bad advice. We need to get those numbers up. Statewide, all residents ages 16 and up are eligible for shots as of 8 a.m. today, with the state racing to vaccinate as many people as it can before more contagious and possibly more lethal variants of the virus take hold. This is important. Age limits have been dropping. Last week, it was lowered to include people 30 and above. As I said today, 16 and above. And even though the number of vaccinations is increasing rapidly, the number of new confirmed cases of COVID-19 and levels of positivity and testing for the virus stubbornly remain at a plateau. That's according to state data. You know, people are reluctant to get the vaccine. It's important to bust the myths of the vaccine. When it comes in a faith-based way from your faith leaders, it really does help getting the message across that this is trustworthy, it's effective, it's safe. That's why it's important when leaders of churches do this. I saw a story today that white evangelical preachers are in droves not getting the vaccine. That is sending a very bad message. That is basically a death sentence for many people, and we have to fix that. Here in New York, the website to go to, covid19vaccine.health.ny.gov. That should have all the information you need as to whether you're eligible, how to set up an appointment through the state. There is a phone number, 1-833-697-4829. It spells 1-833-NYS-4VAX. Northwell Health, if you want to go through them, northwell.edu/COVID vaccine. You can call or visit your local pharmacist, ask them some questions. All kinds of ways. So I'm proud of all the people I know who have gotten vaccines, who are getting appointments, and I hope to be proud of all of our listeners for doing the same.
Yes, I'm very proud of our listeners, too. Pardon me. I was a little hoarse there.
I was very hoarse yesterday.
Well, and I was going to speak to that because you impressed me the other day. First of all, spring has rolled around.
Oh, yes, it has.
And well, we decided that we're going to double down on the sunchoke experiment, and we're also adding in sunflowers.
Sunflowers. Pleasant sunflowers that grow really big, and bees hang out in them.
And they follow the sun, and it's good in certain areas, and you know, with various kinds of coverage as far as light. But I'm excited, and I was just so impressed because you just went all over that. You had this plan that was really good for the area we selected, and it had to be kind of gone over because it hadn't had much in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just leave it at that. No judgment, but it needed attention. So once it was designated and the day was sort of warm enough and nice to go out and give it a go, we got the right tools. We bought a hoe and a cultivator.
Mm-hmm.
And those two tools, between two people, you can make quick work of something like this. So we've about halfway done with the amount of planting we wanted to do, and are really, really doing some cool stuff as far as springtime and growing goes.
Well, in my enthusiasm, though, I breathed in some what was it, peat? Or?
Well, no, I see what I was doing was adding some things to the soil as we were cultivating it, and I poured a little bit of perlite, which is sort of that white stuff you see when you buy a potted plant.
It's volcanic.
It is, and it helps keep soil dry, basically.
It kept my throat dry because when I breathed in without realizing I was doing that, all of a sudden I couldn't talk. I was like, what happened to my voice? It's gone. And while there were some celebrations of that, I realized that it would be hard to do radio if this didn't get fixed. But then I read up on it, and no big deal. Just drink some tea and wait a while.
I apologize.
I'll wear a mask next time.
I tried to kind of say I'm doing this over here, and I know there was a lot of other stuff going on. I mean, like I said, it was really productive, but that stuff is nasty. Yeah. I really didn't mean for that to.
No, it's okay. You know, we get a lot of work in the garden, and I've been doing a lot of. I'm trying to get my stamina back up. I'm working on a Stairmaster every day. But today I realized, you know, between the gardening, which is really hard, by the way, just even standing, bending over, planting things, I get worn out from that. I'm not even moving around, and my muscles are aching. I cannot fathom people who work in fields, the work they do. I don't think any of us appreciate how hard that is. And for people who want to come to this country and do that kind of thing, we should be bowing down to them. We really should. But anyway, today I'm so achy that I'm taking time to myself where I'm just kind of relaxing.
Gotta
have a
rest day.
You gotta pace yourself.
The rest day. Yeah.
Totally. So, and you know, I'm really sick of hearing all this news, from Republicans about Biden's border problem. Hey, you know what? It's not Biden's border problem. It's Trump's border disaster that Biden is now cleaning up, and it's going to take some time. And that's why so many people are there now, because they're trying to get into this country, and we should be welcoming them. But to blame that on Biden, as if he came up with the insanity that separated kids from their parents and had this horrible rush to basically escape horrible conditions. That is something that we need to work on as far as how we welcome people into our country. It's just, I'm happy that people are coming here, and we sure can use the help. I mean, if people are willing to work in some of the conditions, I don't think people should have to work in those conditions, but if they are willing to work hard, that's something we need to really honor
and reward.
Absolutely. So anyway,
when it is addressed, I look forward to hearing about how it was done wrong.
We have all kinds of, oh yeah, by the way, another listener wrote in, remember we were talking about WUSB and how people should support WUSB, whether it's by visiting the website WUSB.FM and pledging there, or calling 631-632-6901 and pledging whatever you can afford, whether it's a one-time pledge or a monthly pledge, or if they want a coffee mug or a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or all the many things that we have. We were talking about all the different kinds of music that we play, and how if somebody were to come into our station with an idea for a Mongolian throat singing show, that we would probably put it on the air. And listener Neil has written in saying, you know, you asked for this. You said that WUSB would play a show of Mongolian throat singing. And, well, this isn't Neil here, I don't think, but it is Mongolian throat singing that he sent us. This is a master of dual tone, overtone, Kumil, I believe is how you pronounce it, where the guy sings two tones at the same time, which creates a higher third tone created by the interference of the two different sounds and overtone. The result is an impossible flute-like musical note. If you get bored quickly with the intro, you can skip to 150 for the first sample. I think we already hit the first sample, didn't we? Yeah, we're already there. Why don't we just have this underneath us? And thank you, Neil, for sending this to us. And if somebody were to come around, let's listen for a second. Is a throat, and my throat is hurting just hearing that.
It might be soothing to do.
Maybe it is, but I'm not going to try it. I'll have a cough drop instead. But yeah, if someone were to come around with you know, a whole show of this stuff, I'm sure we would find room for it in the schedule. Please support WUSB, 631-632-6901, or go to WUSB.fm and pledge from there. Hey, a lot of stupidity happening. We don't have time to get into all of it, but boy, of course, the horrible law passed in Georgia to basically restrict voting in the black community. And that's what it is. You cannot call it anything else. What was the problem that was being addressed? You had an election. You had a couple of elections in Georgia. You had the presidential election. You had the senatorial runoffs in January. Both elections, models, run professionally, run smoothly, no perceptible fraud, and open to people in a way that was fair, so that people could get to the polls or have absentee voting because of the conditions that we've had to face. And that's what you want in an election. That's always what you want, regardless of who's running or what the issues are.
It's participation.
Participation's a good thing. That's what I've been led to believe. Well, apparently, no, that's a problem. And that's why so many states run by Republicans have rushed to change the rules. Because too many black people are showing up. Too many Democrats are winning. That's the problem. You may say that's just my opinion. Look at where it's happening. Look at the people behind it. No, you don't see Democrats doing this. So Georgia passed this horrible law, and it got, as it should, a very strong reaction against it, including from Major League Baseball, which basically pulled the All-Star game out of Atlanta. And yeah, I know that hurts businesses there. But how else do you deal with something like this? How else do you show it? You know, how else do you make it a conversation? Coca-Cola criticized the bill. Now, here's the thing. Okay, listen to this. Some Republican lawmakers in Georgia sent a letter on Saturday to the president of the Georgia Beverage Association demanding that all Coca-Cola products be removed from their office suites immediately after the corporation came out against sweeping GOP-backed legislation that reformed the state's elections. This is because Coca-Cola criticized what they had done. Now, this is the good part. In their letter, eight members of the Georgia House of Representatives complained about Coca-Cola giving in to cancel culture before saying they no longer wanted the company's products in their offices. Okay, guys, do you not see, and you are all guys, no, actually, this Lauren McDonald III, okay. Do you not see the hypocrisy here? You're criticizing something called cancel culture and then saying that because somebody dared to voice an opinion that you don't agree with, you don't want to hear from them anymore. They don't exist anymore. You're doing the exact thing. You're criticizing. And they can't seem to realize this.
If it's even cancel culture in the first place, which a corporation deciding that it is in their interest. I mean, it's kind of a craven business move, really. It's good on them for leading and creating an alliance of brands that people can identify with as not being like that.
Look.
About democracy.
Coca-Cola is based in Georgia. All right. I'm very angry at Georgia right now, but Coca-Cola has voiced its support for voting rights and its opposition to this particular bad law. So am I going to boycott Coca-Cola? Maybe not. Is that good for the Georgian economy? Yeah, it is. Why would you criticize that? You know, this is a way that a business is able to continue to flourish despite your stupidity. You know, and it's better than simply boycotting every single business that's headquartered in Georgia in the first place. Look, you can express your opinion. And if you're punished for expressing your opinion, that, I think, is what cancel culture is in the very definition of the people that are criticizing this. that are criticizing Coca-Cola's reaction. In response, Coca-Cola said, "We welcome the opportunity to continue meeting with any Georgia lawmakers who are interested in a productive dialogue about our concerns regarding the recently enacted election laws in our home state." Boy, they sound unreasonable, don't they? That new law, by the way, it gives voters less time to request absentee ballots, implements strict voter ID requirements, like unreasonably strict. Here in New York, we don't have that. I never have to show ID to vote. It's not a problem. I sign my name, signature matches. I don't look at the signature first before I sign my name. I sign the name. They see if it matches. It matches. It basically reduces the number of ballot drop boxes, making it more inconvenient to actually vote and drop off your ballot. It makes it a crime to hand out food or water to voters waiting in line to cast their ballots. This is insanity. Where is this coming from? And there are all kinds of other restrictions that just make it harder for people of color to vote. Like, for instance, restricting voting on Sundays, when many people are encouraged to vote by their pastors. Well, they figured that out. That means more black people are voting. Can't have that.
None of it actually improves this system.
It does for Republicans. Gets more Republicans elected, and that is what they are trying to do.
In their view, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there is just no dispute about that.
I'll grant them that, but...
It's not right. It's not right. It has to be fought, and it's happening in other states as well. Texas, the stupid governor there, refused to throw out the first pitch in a baseball game. I mean, there's so many levels of stupidity in Texas, because the Texas Rangers are the only team not restricting the number of fans that can go into the stadium unprotected when the pandemic is still in full swing.
I saw one of the photos of the stadium.
And now he's refusing to throw out the first pitch because he doesn't like what Major League Baseball did in Georgia. It's insane. Good news, the United States and Iran have agreed as of today through intermediaries to establish two working groups to try to get both countries back into compliance with the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. That's really all there is to the story. It's good news. Getting that deal back in place where Iran does not pursue a nuclear weapon. How is that a bad thing? Biden has vowed to bring the U.S. back into the deal, which would mean removing the 1,600 or so sanctions that were imposed on Iran after Trump pulled out of an accord he thought was too weak. He broke the deal. Well, now we're going back into the deal, and thankfully Iran is open to that, and we can get back to not having them be a threat as far as developing a nuclear weapon, which they were honoring. They were following the deal to the letter until we broke the deal. And then they said, why should we bother doing this? Rightfully so. Okay. Marijuana is now legal in New York State, 15th state to legalize recreational marijuana. What this means, you can now possess up to 3 ounces of marijuana in your home or in public. If you're 21 years or older, you can also possess up to 24 grams of cannabis in a concentrated form, such as oil. You can smoke marijuana anywhere you are allowed to smoke tobacco, mostly. You can't smoke weed in your car. You can't smoke it in a restaurant's outdoor patio, even if it's designated for cigarette smoking. You can't smoke it in a cigar bar or a tobacco store. Legal sales probably won't begin until about September 2022. And that's because it'll take time for New York to work out the complicated regulatory framework. And that means you can't grow it at home until about 18 months after that date. That's to give them time for the retail market to become established and
it's
all that.
It's a little harsh.
It is harsh. I think it's harsh. Home growth is different. Home growth of medical marijuana is different. It will be allowed once the state adopts regulations for it, which is supposed to be no more than 6 months from now. So if you're growing for medical purposes, that'll be a bit easier. Now, localities, here's where we get into the stupidity. Localities could, they can't prohibit residents from growing or consuming marijuana, but they can block or regulate retail sales and delivery as well as consumption sites. However, if they do this, they can't share in any of the tax revenue, the massive tax revenue generated by marijuana sales. And already, a handful of Long Island Village mayors have said they're going to opt out of local sales. Okay, look at Town of Hempstead Board. Look at these idiots here. It's a picture of these four old white guys grinning for the camera. And basically, they were the first. And Hempstead, my God, the name Hempstead. Okay, it wasn't named after hemp, but whatever, it's still ironic. The governing board of the town of Hempstead in Long Island, right next to Queens, wants all of its 59 municipalities to opt out of selling marijuana under the New York state law legalizing cannabis. The Just Say No statement to pot was unanimously endorsed by Republican Supervisor Donald Klavan and six council members representing all parts of the town, including Democrat Councilwoman Dorothy Goosby, the first African-American woman elected to the council, whose district includes the villages of Hempstead and Roosevelt. Well, I think you're all morons. I really do, because you're not looking at the facts here. Some of the villages in the town of Hempstead are incorporated and therefore not legally bound to the larger town's decision. But the unanimous sentiment of the governing board represents all parts of the town is an indication that the opt-out movement is growing in Long Island's suburban enclaves east of New York City. New York City, incidentally, has embraced marijuana sales at retail outlets within the five boroughs. So it's not going to be far. Now, New York will impose a 14% sales tax on the sale of weed, 9% going to the state treasury, 3% to the municipalities, and 1% to county governments. Of course, if they refuse to sell it, they forgo the tax revenue. Town of Babylon, supervisor there, wants to ban marijuana sales throughout Long Island. Town supervisor calling for a complete ban. Rich Schaefer, he says, we're protecting our quality of life and we're not creating a whole host of problems that could end up costing us lives and resources. What in hell are you talking about, Rich? I mean, first of all, you're not preventing anything. People can just go to Queens or Brooklyn.
Or order it online.
And yeah, you can't make it illegal once it's already legal. These costing us lives and resources, this is all based on fallacy. People are driving out of control. Look, you have enough of a problem with people driving drunk. I don't see anybody stopping bars from opening or stopping liquor sales or beer sales in local stores. Why not? The problem is far, far worse. Why is this not something you're attacking? Instead, you're attacking cannabis sales, where if there is a problem, it's far less. And a lot of these reports that we keep hearing about where people are testing positive for weed in their system, you do know that it tests positive in your system for up to 6 months after you smoke. So it's not necessarily a contributing factor to automobile problems. I'm not saying it's not an issue, but it's a tiny issue compared to what we have now. And to drum up fear and misunderstanding and misinformation, this is exactly why we had this problem for many, many decades. We don't need to have these same mistruths spread around as if they are true. Elliot Choi is a counsel at a cannabis firm in New York. Vicente Sederberg, I believe. Prohibiting legal sales also makes it harder to stamp out the existing unregulated market. If local demand is not being met by regulated stores, it will continue to be met by unregulated dealers. Simply put, opting out will not keep cannabis out of these communities. In states where cannabis is legal, many local governments that rushed to ban adult sales have since changed course and now allow them. There is not a single case, I'll say this again, there is not a single case in which a community that allowed sales decided to go back and prohibit them. It's reminiscent of the states and localities that made the costly mistake of clinging to alcohol prohibition for years after its repeal. Yeah.
It's true. I've talked to connections in Washington from way back, the olden days, right? And the kind of sales and volume it's just not at all the same as it was when under prohibition in Washington, and I'm sure that's true in other states, that a lot of the growers would do what they can to move over into the legal market, and it puts the quality, and of course the selection's never as good, right, as a legal system. So it really, really does put that market out of business. So in the inverse, if you create zones where the market need is not met, there will be opportunists coming in, and you'll see the same sort of problems that you're implying the legal market would create.
Look, I'll tell you the problems that the legal market solves. They don't sell to kids. They're not gateways to other drugs. every illicit deal that you have in an alleyway or on a street corner somewhere is a gateway to something else, and they don't care who they sell to. Why would you want to continue that? Because if you're prohibiting this, you are continuing that. All right. The people in these places, and go to Massachusetts if you don't believe us. Go to Massachusetts and visit one of these places. You'll see how well-informed they are, how they follow the rules, how they check people to make sure they're old enough to be able to buy this, and how the quality that you get is far better than the quality you get on the street. There are standards. These are good things. And you're not solving anything by simply prohibiting it, because somebody can do the exact same thing a county over. That county gets all the tax benefits, and they have the same amount legally from there. You're not solving anything. You're not fixing any problems. You're just making it seem like there are problems that don't exist.
It's true. I think back, and the amount of sketchy, I think is the word you use, places, and I mean weapons, just all of the things that occur around something that has to be secret or is illicit and thought of that way are truly what you are exposing the community to, mm-hmm. when it is stigmatized, and this kind of talk, it contributes to that.
So please, if you're listening and you agree with us, contact your local elected officials, whether they be mayors, supervisors, county executives, because if you don't, this other side of misinformed, ignorant people will dominate the conversation. They will spread the fear. They will make people say, no, I don't want people driving while high, as if that's the problem that's going on right now. And all sorts of other misinformation that they are spreading around. They will dominate the conversation if we don't speak up. So please speak up. Write letters to newspapers, contact local officials.
Talk to one another.
Exactly. That's how you get change. That's how you prevent bad things from happening. All right, and now it's time, we're going to have to rush through this, for Films of the Year That Was, where we take a look at Academy Award-winning films year to year. We're covering 2 years here. I think 1995 we had a foreign film. What was the foreign film called again?
Antonia's Line.
Antonia's Line, yeah, it's a Dutch film, right?
Apparently it's a feminist film, but it's a Dutch film by Marlene Gorris.
It's a good film. It was a feminist film because it's all about women and how they don't need men to raise kids. Different generations.
It portrays some really awful, truly, truly awful men. But uh-huh. Yeah, it's like women venturing off to find a man to conceive with, but outside of any kind of traditional family. There's some really awful scenes, but like you said, yeah, a whole generation where we see the emergence of a child and then she grows up, and it's all sort of told. It's kind of just this small Dutch village, and there's a lot of horsing around and playfulness, mm-hmm. around some really kind of bleak circumstances to a degree.
They are bleak. It's a small town. You know, everybody is kind of weird in one way or another. Some people have serious problems, but it's what life is. And some people are genuinely evil, and they genuinely get the fate they deserve. The film actually was made in Belgium. I think it was supposed to be in the Netherlands, but it was easier to find a filming location in Belgium. It's just a good story. It starts with the protagonist, Antonia, on the last day of her life. She just basically says, I'm going to die today. This is my... It's kind of this matter-of-fact way that a lot of Dutch people I know speak of things.
Absolutely.
Like, today, you know, this time, I've had enough of life. This is the end of it.
It is time for me. Yeah. Life is over.
Not that I know anybody who's said that. I'm just saying it's that kind of matter-of-fact way of making big decisions that I've noticed. So that's how she starts the film, and then you go back and you see her life and her daughter and her granddaughter and eventually her great-granddaughter.
Sure, and I just want to point out, the time period is post-World War II.
Right after World War II, yes.
That's right, and it is about Antonia, and there's a whole cast of characters. Mm-hmm. People known, Crooked Finger is one character, Looney Lips, Dee Dee and Looney Lips.
You could just imagine.
That's right, and the evil character is named Pitta, and it is kind of interesting in the way it does the flashbacks and comes back.
It's a genuinely good film. not a high budget or anything like that. I think you'll find it interesting. Antonia's Line, originally it was called Antonia too, I think, but you'll find that easily online. Okay, so now we move to 1996 and the American winner. You know, I'm afraid this is going to happen more and more as we get closer to the present, where I'm just going to not like films for some reason, maybe because they're too recent, or because I feel like tastes have changed, or it's all about, I don't know, connections or whatever, but I didn't really care for The English Patient. I know a lot of people did. I think it's one of these films that I guess your mom might like, you know? And okay, fine. Their opinion is as important as my opinion, but I just didn't get it. I just didn't see the allure of it. It's told through a series of flashbacks and flash forwards where you start with this. I forget where you start exactly. There is people in the desert who are apparently mapping out the desert. This is before the war begins, World War II.
It's the final days of the Italian campaign.
Yeah,
in World War II. This is Northern Africa.
And You see a plane being shot down at one point. You don't really know the story behind that. And then you flash forward to this mysterious guy who's wrapped up in a bandage, and he's the English patient. But then you get flashbacks into the time before he was the English patient, which is weird because he says he doesn't remember anything, but apparently we're flashing back anyway and seeing his past and who he is. I had trouble with all the English guys because to me, and I don't mean to be racist, but they all look the same. All these English guys look the same to me. And I couldn't tell one apart from the other.
But the nurse was a really strong character as well, of course.
Yeah, she was great. The present day nurse.
Yep.
And by present day, I mean in World War II, the ending of World War II. Mm-hmm. But then you flash back, and there's another a female protagonist there who is married to one of these English guys who I keep mixing up with the other English guys. And then you have this guy who is the English patient who's having an affair with her. And they're just having these ridiculous dialogues. What would you do if I didn't appear? I would just expect you another day. You wouldn't come looking for me. Well, that makes me not want to be here. It's ridiculous, endless conversations that would make me want to go screaming out of the room. In fact, I did go screaming out of the room.
Super contrived emotion, really forced, like, wistfulness. And, it's just really hard to sit through. By the way, this film is 162 minutes long.
Oh, every minute counts. Yeah, I know, because I was counting every minute. You know, I don't normally like the reviews on IMDb because I feel like so many of them are just, they're just overly familiar, as if you're making the film yourself, that you know as much as the filmmaker, and criticizing things for the wrong reasons. And every TV show is the same way. No matter how good it is, they want it done their way. If it's not done their way, it gets one star.
Yeah, as if you had the opportunity to make any of those choices.
Yeah.
You didn't. Didn't make the film.
You made the review. And for some reason, I read it, and I'm sorry I did. But in this particular case, this person wrote a review in 1999. When I say I don't get it, I don't mean to imply that I don't understand the movie. What I don't get is why we are supposed to care about such unsympathetic, flat characters. I also don't get how this movie could possibly have won Best Picture. It's boring, overdone, and pretentious, and nice scenery does not make up for a lack of substance. It looked like a case of raging hormones to me. Are we given any reason as to why we should not despise one character for cheating on her husband over a prolonged period of time? Are we given any reason why we should not despise the guy for sleeping with his best friend's wife over a prolonged period of time? I didn't get it.
That is exactly what I was going to say. I don't get this film.
Mm-hmm.
Then they throw in there's some spy angle. There is the Indian Sikh.
He was the best character. The
explosives expert.
The Indian Sikh guy who was the
Kip.
He was always about to be blown up because he was the guy that had to defuse bombs. I wish I had done more with him.
A welcome diversion. By that I mean I was kind of into it at that point,
mm-hmm.
just from an interesting fifth, sixth, seventh character out of the flatness of, yeah. of the other ones. I think that's a good way to phrase it.
And there's a scene towards the end where you see a plane very similar to the plane we saw at the beginning of the film, crashing with the same woman in it.
It's a Boeing Stearman.
I couldn't care less. Woman in the front, a two-seater, woman in the front, guy in the back. And the English patient, before he becomes an English patient, is walking somewhere in the desert. And this plane seems to be aimed right at him. And he jumps out of the way. The plane crashes. Okay, it looks like the same plane, but it's a different plane. And it crashed and had a woman in the front just like the other one. And I didn't even realize till after I started reading reviews that that was the husband trying to kill the guy who was cheating on his wife with him. And he winds up killing himself and severely injuring his wife, who later dies after the guy she's cheating with tries to rescue her by hiding her in a cave.
Yeah, she goes into a cave.
And then walking all the way back to some place where there's English people in the middle of the war who don't believe who he is. And it turns out he's Hungarian. He's a count, which I didn't know until that time either. And then later, for some reason, he gets the Germans to help him. And he's able to get another plane. And that's the plane that he tries to fly away with her, who's dead. try to fly away with her. And that's the plane we see at the beginning. It gets shot down by the same Germans. I don't understand why they shot it down if they gave him the plane. So what we're seeing at the beginning of the film is him trying to fly a dead woman out of the desert. And I don't know. they tried to tackle too much, because the whole mystery of who is the English patient, we knew who it was from the beginning. So there wasn't much of a mystery. And I think the real question is, why should we care? And I didn't.
Yeah. Indeed. I was really lost. I think biting off way more than they could chew as far as a story, or at least the execution of it, was not as skilled as it could have been if it really is as interesting as the Academy thought that year. But maybe it was an off year for the Academy. They can't always be right, if they're right at all. I don't even know. Okay, that's a totally different subject. Don't have time.
Yeah, unfortunately we don't, and we are out of time. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Get vaccinated.
Take your shot.
Stay tuned for Finn.
Still ain't paid. Brothers and sisters, you know what I'm saying. thinking about the way you talk, or the way you walk, brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying?